Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Hello, Dr. Looper.
Good morning, Haley.
Good. How are you?
Good. So you lie because we talked earlier and you've been having headaches and blood flow problems, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Yeah, good is my automatic response. It's ingrained in me. But yeah, honestly, this morning gives us a good opportunity to talk a little bit more about something I personally experienced last week. Having that experience led me to think that there are probably other people dealing with the same thing.
What'd you feel?
As I was going for a run, I noticed a different visual change in my right peripheral field of vision. And when I would close my eyes, I could still see the area that was hazy while my eyes were closed in dark nothingness. When I'd open my eyes, it'd be blurred. I've had these types of headaches in the past, aural migraines, to where it actually closes my peripheral vision into the center of my vision. So this one was, I would say, more mild than what I experienced in the past. But again, no pain associated and just freaky, just something that, you know, I had to sit there and wonder with for about 20, 40 minutes until I came in to see you to make sure that I was doing okay.
Let me throw like a big picture out for headaches. And not one thing causes it. There's a bunch of stuff that causes head pain. Brain tumors cause head pain. You always got to think as a doctor, like, what's the chance there's a brain tumor here? Usually that's not the reason. But, you know, you got to consider, you know, possibility because occasionally it is the reason. And there's some clues. I'll go over them here in a second, what they are. But brain tumor. Another thing is, which is a duh thing, is if you get hit in the head, you know, whacked by a bat, right? You're going to get a headache. And that's just because trauma. I mean, you just got whacked or you fall down and whack your head and then it hurts. That one's pretty easy to figure what the cause of the headache is because you just got whacked. But a lot of times headaches come out of nowhere. There is no cause. You're just going along with your day, doing normal stuff, and then wham, you get a headache.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of times it starts in the afternoon. It's more common, but it could start in the morning or it could start, you know, whenever, honestly. And you get this horrible headache. They can be absolutely severe, like life-wrecking, blinding headaches.
Yeah, I do have a couple of friends who suffer with life-wrecking migraines. They've tried everything.
Yeah, we're gonna spend more time talking about those than any other thing. I don't think we could talk about all different kinds of headaches in a half an hour and really to come up with some solutions for them. But let's just see how far we get. If we have to make this into two shows, that's fine too.
Absolutely.
But let's start with one of my favorite headaches, the ice cream headache. You eat your ice cream too fast, you get this horrible headache. My son calls it the brain freeze.
Brain freeze. You know what helps that? If you stick your tongue to the roof of your mouth.
So the ice cream headache kind of illustrates the mechanism of headaches pretty well, oddly enough. And so the blood vessels respond to the cold in the roof of your mouth. They respond to the cold by constricting. And this is normal. If you get, you know, walk out in freezing cold, the blood vessels in your hands and feet, for example, or even in your arms and legs will constrict as a way to decrease blood flow, right? So you don't freeze to death. And so it's a normal mechanism. It's a reflex is what it is. It's a reflex. Your brain is a part of your body that really, really, really needs blood flow. And it turns out to be super important because it's the nexus, it's a coordinator for all the nerves in your body and all the nervous functions that they do, which is basically everything. So your brain can override your reflexes. If the brain feels like it's not getting enough blood flow, and if the blood vessels are constricted, it's not, then it can override that reflex by forcing the blood vessels to dilate. And when you force blood vessels to dilate, it stretches the nerve fibers that are in the blood vessels. Okay, here's a blood vessel. It squishes down, then it dilates. It's stretching. Ow, 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 ow. And usually when it hurts, it as the blood pounds, you know, as blood flows, boom, boom, you get the pain,
the
boom.
Pounding headache.
Boom, right, like that. The funny thing about an ice cream headache is it affects the trigeminal nerve, because that's the nerve that's there. And the brain misinterprets where the actual problem's coming from. It doesn't, my experience is when I get a brain freeze, the roof of my mouth doesn't hurt. It's my forehead.
Right.
And kind of the sides of my head sometimes if it's really bad. That's what hurts. And what the brain is doing is it's reinterpreting the signals as coming from your forehead, as coming from your temples. Huh. And this is a pretty common thing. You know, the funny thing about brain pain is the brain actually doesn't feel pain. It interprets these signals and presents the results of the interpretation to us as pain. But if you, you know, cut into someone's head and start cutting on their brain, like you're brain surgeon, you're trying to do something, the brain itself doesn't hurt. Hmm. You can cut right into the brain and it doesn't even hurt. There's no pain whatsoever. Now, your head hurts.
Yes.
But that's not because of the brain tissue itself. It's because of the connective tissues and blood vessels and sheets of connective tissue, the dura of your brain that holds everything together. That is where the pain receptors are. That's where the nerves are. And so that's where the pain's coming from. So if the blood vessels stretch, that's usually what's causing the pain. There's more to it than this, but the gist of it is blood vessels constrict for some reason, then they dilate, and that's where the pain comes from.
Could they restrict because of blockage or?
Yeah, they can. You know, tumors will cause blockage. The other thing that will constrict the blood vessels is you can constrict them from the outside. Blood vessels have to go through muscles.
Mm.
And if the muscles are really tight, it'll actually constrict the blood vessels there too. And that can be a problem.
So like a tension headache.
Yeah, tension headaches. They go through the same basic mechanism, which is constriction and dilation, but the mechanism is different. It's being caused by tension in your body, mostly in your shoulders.
Shoulders and neck.
Your neck.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a bunch of muscles in there that can pinch blood vessels. One in particular is a problem for lots of people. It's one that attaches to the top of your shoulder blade,
yeah,
and then attaches to kind of the middle of your neck on both sides. Mm-hmm. It's called the levator scapula. That one is, people with tension headaches, that one's always hot.
Yeah.
You put your thumb on it, the people can feel it. And it actually helps to rub them out. Now, I'm kind of getting into treatment. Mm-hmm. I might as well kind of mix them all together here. The treatment for these things is, and again, big picture, is to stop this constriction dilation thing.
So in regards to tension headaches, alleviate the area that is causing the tension to promote blood circulation.
Yeah, you know what we should do right now? We're going to talk about your case, because your case is all about blood circulation.
Yeah.
Because with the blue lips and the aura and all that stuff. But before I do that, I'd mentioned the symptoms of tumor. Let's just get that out of the way. If you got a tumor, it's a space occupying lesion and it presses on stuff and you can get headaches from that. I mean, really severe headaches from that.
And not to be like a super doom and gloom, but the pressure that I felt in the eye is what concerns me to think that maybe there is a blockage.
So if you do have a tumor, normally the headaches are going to be worse first thing in the morning because you've been laying down, and you know, when you stand up, blood drains out of your head and it goes to your feet. And so it creates a little space. So you feel a little bit better. And when you lay down, blood flows to your head, fills your head up a little bit more. And so if you got any space occupying lesion, now you're more full than you would otherwise. So
and then you would
get the headache.
Present symptoms. Yeah.
So this is a blood flow constriction problem, but let me just go back to the tumor thing. So the tumor thing is you get these headaches in the morning and they're progressive. You get real light head, you go, well, that's funny, my head feels funny. Yeah, I wonder if I have anything. You get up and then it goes away. And then you go, oh, I guess I just had a little headache in the morning. And then in a week, the headaches are worse.
Oh.
And then in a week, the headaches are worse. And now they're lasting all day long. So when you get that symptom, go to the doctor ASAP, get a MRI.
Yeah.
To find out the tumor, right?
Okay.
Now, not every tumor is cancer. Sometimes you just grow these benign tumors and they just honestly need to be cut out.
Yeah.
That's the solution is surgery. I'm sorry, it's heavy duty having somebody come in and cut in your head.
I have. Mm-hmm.
You had a tumor in your head?
I had an arterial venous malformation.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Did you get headaches from it?
No, I didn't get headaches. It was It laid dormant until I reached childbirthing year, years, and, you know, I became pregnant with the increased blood flow. The malformed area of blood vessels ruptured, and I had an aneurysm at 6 months pregnant.
Okay, so the aneurysm didn't break, though. How'd you know you had an aneurysm?
It did. It ruptured.
It ruptured. That's called a stroke, by the way.
Yep, I had a stroke. I lost the right field of my vision as I was at work that day, and then went to the emergency room, and they put me in an MRI. And from past trauma, I know how long MRIs take. This one took 5 minutes. They got me out of the machine, wheeled me back to an ER room, and a doctor ran in and told me I needed to go to Seattle immediately. And then I spent 9 days at Harborview Neuro ICU. It you know, calmed down. It wasn't bleeding anymore. I was 6 months pregnant.
So it clotted.
Yeah, it clotted. I was 6 months pregnant. They couldn't go in and embolize it while I was pregnant. So I had to relax and take it easy for the duration of my pregnancy. I had a cesarean section because I couldn't push. And then in November of 2017, so a few months after I had Adeline, I went in for radiation surgery, and they cauterized it with gamma knife.
So they scarred it.
Mm-hmm.
Is what they did. So you did tell me this before. So now this changes this whole conversation we're having about your blood flow thing. This is probably an element in whatever you're getting. Let's go back to your symptoms. So you're getting symptoms of an aura. You're getting this weird vision thing on the right side of your vision, and it lasts when you close your eyes. What that is what's known as an aura. And what causes an aura is a decreased blood flow to your brain. Now, there's lots of things that will contribute to this. Muscle tension is the number one thing, honestly. Just head and shoulders above everything else. But you got a little bit of scar tissue in your brain, for sure, on purpose. It was made that way. It was created to seal up that little hole and the bulge thing, the ballooning. That's a better word here. That's what aneurysm is. So what happens, your blood vessels got layers, and sometimes the blood pressure will drill a hole through one of the inner layers and then push on the outer layers, because it's all supposed to work together like a sandwich, right? But if you go through the inner layers of bread and you're pushing on the outer layer of bread, the bread pushes out because it's not designed to take that much pressure, and it balloons out. Now it's pressing on stuff and it's decreasing blood flow, because typically these happens not in the middle of the blood vessel, but at a branching, where two blood vessels branch, and one of them balloons up and pushes the other one and pinches it off. And now you got a decrease in blood flow. So there's probably just this tendency, I'm just gonna call it a tendency for you to not have adequate blood flow in that part of your brain.
Which would make sense why I have right peripheral visual changes.
Because it got pinched off, right? Because the scar tissue caused it to narrow.
Yeah. It can't go through those pathways.
You get that narrowing thing. Yeah. The thing is about the exercise, you may wonder, well, how does the exercise have to fit with it? Because that should make the blood flow be better. And it does.
Yeah.
At first. But what happens is the exercise causes your blood vessels to open up. They dilate generally, because you're going to have to send more blood to your legs and more blood to your hips and more blood to your torso and more blood to a bunch of places that are engaged in doing whatever the exercise you're doing. Now, when all those blood vessels open up, now there's less blood to go in your head.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't have all the blood in the world. You got a limited amount. If the blood vessels are opening up, then they just can't get to all the places that they need to go to. Your body has to make decisions. It's funny, a lot of people don't know this. Your body can't can't send blood everywhere at the same time.
Darn.
You don't have enough blood. So your body has to make choices. Who gets the most blood? We've talked about this before. When stress chemicals kick in, we've talked about how your body decreases blood flow to your guts.
Yes.
And pushes that blood that would have gone to your guts to your muscles and your heart and your brain, so that you can engage whatever the problem is and solve it, typically picking up a stick and whacking the problem severely, right? Because that's how we used to solve problems for millions of years back in the caveman days.
Mm-hmm.
And so our body assumes we're going to pick up a stick and start whacking stuff, and we're going to need some blood to do that.
Right.
And so we get this shift in blood flow. Exercise does that too. Exercise triggers a shift in blood flow, again, to your muscles and your heart and your brain. And a lot of times it's because the same chemicals are involved. Stress chemicals go up when you're exercising. And it's not because you're stressed, it's because you're happy. And you get this feeling like, wow, I feel great, right?
Yeah.
Stress chemicals are wonderful. Well, they're not the bad thing you think they are. A lot of times people think they're horrible. They're not. They're actually totally cool.
Yeah, when used in the right circumstances, when you're working out, not when you're working at a desk and you can't move your body.
Yeah, then it's weird.
Yeah.
So if you if you get this thing where you can't see right, that there's this funny glow around everything, or an after image, you close your eyes and you can still see everything kind of in a weird way that's not what you're used to.
Mm-hmm.
Usually what that is a prelude to migraine. That's what comes before the migraine. And we stop and think about it for a second. If your blood vessels are squinching down for whatever reason, you know, they're getting pressed on, or there's inflammation, or you got weird hormones, whatever, and they're squishing down, then you're not getting enough blood flow to your head.
Mm-hmm.
And then your brain just doesn't work right. Now, if it's mild, you're going to feel funny, right? If it hits the back of your head, which it usually does, you're going to see funny.
Yeah.
Now, if it is severe and that blood flow just squinches down tight and there is just almost no blood flow going to your head whatsoever, you can actually go blind.
Oh.
So people talk about a blinding headache.
Yeah.
That's not just a figure of speech.
Yeah.
That is an actual real life thing. So we talked about migraines. There's classic migraines or common migraines, and then there's complicated migraines, weird migraines that are in far in excess of what a regular migraine is. So those are really some of the worst headaches that you can get.
I've had one migraine in my life with actual pain. It was in high school before the aneurysm, and it was debilitating. It was so painful. I was crying. I was helpless. And I just had no idea what to help with it other than ibuprofen.
Serious problem.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about treatment here in a little bit, but let's talk a little bit more about headaches generally, and then I'll get into the specifics. So generally, these tension headaches and migraines, classic migraines and complicated migraines, they're all put in different categories because they're really different things, but they're not. They all fade one end or the other. So on one end, you got these complicated migraines. And if you lighten up on them, you go into regular classic migraines. And if you lighten up on them, you go into bad tension headaches. And if you lighten up on them, you go into light tension headaches. And then you go into nothing. So tension headaches grade into migraines. They're not different things. They're just matters of degree. They really are the same mechanism. The basic mechanism is blood flow is interrupted. Your brain doesn't like it, so it forces a dilation of those blood vessels, allowing blood to get to the brain, but that dilation process causes pain, and you get pain for it. So the tension headaches typically happen in the afternoon just because it takes a while for this thing to build up.
Yeah, you've been working all day, poor posture.
Yeah, eye strain tends to make it worse, so you're doing close work, it tends to make it worse. If you're doing desk work, it tends to make it worse. You're doing computer work, it tends to make it worse. I mean, there's a lot of people doing desk work and computer work and clothes work. I mean, that's most of jobs involve that. And so no wonder these headaches are so common.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that everybody wants to do, let's get into treatment a little bit. What everybody wants to do for number one is get rid of the headache.
Yeah, so they take something.
Yeah, and it turns out that the brain is registering these nervous impulses as pain.
Mm-hmm.
If you can block that nervous impulse process, and you can with analgesics, you can knock the pain out. And so analgesics are a freaking godsend, honestly.
Does that also interrupt blood flow?
It can. Now, it turns out one of the more strong analgesics you can do, and I'm not really a brand guy, but I'm going to talk about a brand, Excedrin.
Yes.
Yeah. Excedrin headache, especially for headache pain. Why is Excedrin different? Why is it better? It honestly, tell you right now, it works
because
better. You get a headache, you take Excedrin. That is the stuff. It'll work better than just about anything you can get over the counter.
The caffeine?
Yeah.
Yep.
The caffeine. Now, why is caffeine helping?
Because it's restricting the blood vessels.
Yeah. So how does that help?
It promotes more blood flow?
No, it gets rid of blood flow.
Oh.
Now, let's talk about, remember what happened? The mechanism is blood vessels constrict for whatever reason. The brain doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Remember, the constriction is what's causing the aura.
Yeah.
So it dilates, and the dilation hurts. That's where the pain comes. So if you take that dilation and you squinch it back down,
Oh, it's gone.
No more pain.
But does that still leave you with visual impairment or, you know, hours later it comes back?
Yes. The first one, no.
Okay.
Because the caffeine isn't strong enough to shut down, to completely constrict the blood vessel. It won't do that.
Okay.
And so you won't get the aura. I mean, there's probably somebody somewhere gets an aura from it, but I've never seen it, and it's not commonly a side effect of it. Commonly, what the side effect is the pain goes down better. You get, because Excedrin isn't just caffeine. Excedrin's got aspirin in it. It's got, what else it got in it? Tylenol or something. Or maybe, yeah, acetaminophen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got a combination of two things and this other thing, three things altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And they work together fabulously. Now, it's not the only thing that'll help with that. Ibuprofen works well. Tylenol by itself is fairly decent. There's a bunch of other NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, that'll do this as well. I mean, basically any painkiller is going to help knock down the pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the caffeine is a special plus because it causes the blood vessels to constrict a little bit. And then that decreases the amount of pain that goes through, and it's fabulous. Now, you did hit the nail right on the head, though. If you constrict those blood vessels, remember, your body's trying to dilate them. Your brain's trying to get them to dilate.
Yeah, it wants more blood flow.
And so what happens is eventually they'll dilate. And so what you're doing, you're getting rid of this headache, but you're setting yourself up for the next one. So what you get is you're better now, and you're worse in the long run.
Yeah.
It is a sucky solution, as so often is the case.
So what about prescription alternatives? Is there anything out there that, like, delays that dilation enough for long-term relief?
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. There's all kinds of stuff. There's a category of medications called triptans. Sumatriptan is the classic one. Imitrex is what the common name is. And what the triptans do is they do a combination of three things. They block the pain to some extent. They're not particularly super good at blocking pain, but they cause the blood vessels to constrict, and they block the inflammatory chemicals that the brain's using to generate this whole reaction. So, okay, number one, immediately they block pain to some degree. Number two, they cause blood vessels to constrict a little bit. That's already, you're good. That's already going to get rid of the headache. That's an Excedrin. But in addition to that, it actually has this anti-inflammatory thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're mimicking serotonin in the brain. And serotonin actually helps mitigate these headaches and get rid of these headaches. So serotonin problems tend to promote headaches more. So they're helping to mimic, they don't fix serotonin, but they mimic serotonin enough that they cause an improvement. Now, again, the underlying cause usually is muscle tension.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's driving it. It's, let me show you.
Yes.
You see that?
Shrimping at your desk.
Uh-huh. That's the problem right there. That's what it is. So you got to drop your shoulders and breathe and relax and live that all the time. Always working on that all the time.
Yes. Resetting yourself every 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah. Working that. And also doing, okay, you know, I'm tempted to go straight in the exercise thing. Let me just.
Well, that's what just sparked my curiosity, was if serotonin improves these headaches or is like the precursor of what these drugs are using, then wouldn't consistent exercise help alleviate?
Yes, it helps immensely. So what we want to do, the real treatment of this, the actual true real treatment, is to relax your muscles. That's what you got to do. You got to relax your muscles. You relax your muscles, then blood flow improves.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's no headaches. You don't have headaches anymore because you're feeling better. Okay, how do you relax your muscles? Because this is all unconscious. So what we're going to need to do is exercise. Yeah, that's excellent. Exercise that relaxes your neck and shoulders. So it's one of the best things to do, honestly, is massage. Now, not everybody can afford to have a masseuse come and massage them. But if you get somebody on a regular basis coming over and rubbing your neck out, this makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have a lovely husband who's kind and gentle. Yeah, that's going to be a boon.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you just have you have your fabulous job and you piled money up enough, you can afford to have Lars come over every day and rub your stuff out, right? Okay,
right.
So there's that. There's one thing you do. Next thing you could do, and it even works better than massage. I'll say that again. It works better as acupuncture.
Yeah, that's
acupuncture
what I was
is freakishly effective.
Okay.
Now, why would it be so effective? I don't know. It does something with nerve function and connective tissue,
fascial
planes, or whatever. There's ideas about the mechanisms, but the funny thing is the ankle bone's connected to the knee bone. So you start pulling on one kind of little bit of fascia, and then it triggers this reaction. So there's a spot on your hand between your pointer finger and your thumb and the thick part of your hand. What you do is you rub that little spot. It's tender. You search around for the part that hurts.
Mm-hmm.
There it is right there. Ow. And then you rub it out. You just give it a little rub. And then, you know, for maybe 10 seconds or 20 seconds, it doesn't take all day. It's just a little thing. You rub it out and it does this chain reaction where it lets the whole system on that side relax. And you got to do the other side too. You got to balance them out.
And you can also release tension in that scapula muscle in the back.
The levator scapula muscle.
Yeah, the levator scapula muscle.
Now, the problem is that one's a little on the way back. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to get to. See, I'm having to push my elbow to get it over my shoulder. Mm-hmm. There it is. I can feel it. I have all this stuff too.
Yeah. I use gua sha. I use a stone to drain the lymph back there and to move the muscle and to move the fascia around whenever I have a tight day.
At the end of the day. What is this stone? Tell me more.
Oh, it's just a rounded jade stone designed for you to use lightly to...
So jade is hard and smooth.
Yes,
so
very hard and smooth. Hard and smooth stone. And you can use your fists, although back there is kind of hard to get to. But for your like facial drainage, you can use your fists and knuckles to kind of move the fascia and tissue around. And it just promotes lymphatic drainage and... muscle movement and circulation, big beauty trend right now, an alternative to Botox.
So Botox is another treatment. You can block nerves with Botox, mm-hmm. by the way. But I don't know, I never recommend Botox to anybody because there's other better ways to do this. Because you just got to get a hygiene system set up to relax muscles.
Mm-hmm.
They did invent this thing. They call it a Theracane, as in therapeutic cane. Uh-huh. And it's a cane with a big loop on the end and these kind of handles in the middle and loops on both sides. And what you do is got a ball,
uh-huh.
and you get the ball on the spot, and you can push it from this side and kind of get it in there,
mm-hmm.
and get it to work really well. It's fabulous.
Great idea. Totally,
I had a doc who worked for me who just loved these things and basically had every patient get one.
Well, that's what you need to do present. When you feel a muscle just build up and tight. You have to push into that to release that pressure and to get that blood flowing out of that one solid area it's built up in.
Inflammation is part of the mechanism. It's not all muscle tension alone. Inflammation is part of the mechanism. Remember I told you, sumatriptan has an anti-inflammatory element in it that makes it be a more effective medication. Doesn't always work, but... mostly it works. But what I do, instead of using those, I use herbs. And the herbs work fabulously. I get very, very, very good results with herbs. We do a combination of massage and or acupuncture and or rubbing out these spots and or exercise, some way to kind of reduce the muscle tension. And then doing the herbs to reduce the inflammation, it's easy. Mm-hmm. If somebody comes in with migraines, I go, woo, just the easy one.
Yep.
That's how I feel about it.
It's so great to treat those patients because usually they turn.
Yeah, they turn.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard.
Right.
Really, it's not hard. So the leading herbs are feverfew, that's known as tanacetum, and butterbur, that's known as pedicytes. Pedicytes is slightly more effective, but I usually use them together.
Mm-hmm.
I usually also use them in combination with some general anti-inflammatories, curcumin.
What is the pedicytes and the tanacetum? What mechanism?
They're anti-inflammatory.
Okay.
That's what they do. They're anti-inflammatory. So they reduce that inflammatory reaction that triggers the constriction and dilation. They stabilize the blood vessels and make them less likely to constrict and dilate.
And just stay dilated.
That's it. Same as medications do. And it's not like you take an herb by itself. That's all you do. What you do is you have to understand what the problem is. Again, is that once you understand that, now you know the mechanism. You don't understand why the headache's happening. Now you address it at the causative state. Now, we haven't talked about every kind of headache. There's a whole category of headaches called cluster headaches, which are honestly the worst of the whole bunch.
Yeah.
But we don't have enough time to do it.
Nope.
We're out of time.
Not this episode. Thank you, though, so much. I'm sure just that little information really
helped. Your own case, right? With your blood flow, this little weird thing in your brain, right?
Yeah, now I'm not as worried I have a tumor. Thank you, Dr.
All right, Ann, my pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy. This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.